On June 8th, life changed in Wilmington. That's the day page one of the Star News declared toxin taints CFPUA drinking water. Pam Sander is executive editor of the Star News. She learned about Gen X in a Wilmington restaurant with Vaughn Haggerty.
And he was actually doing a story on just water quality overall. He's very interested in the environment and some of the different reports coming out about the water. And so he was working on a story about that. And so he and I would meet, and he'd give me an update on where he was. I can actually remember we met at Southern Thai, the restaurant, because we usually it's somewhere near one of our houses just to catch up. It's a quick little. And we met at Southern Thai, and I got there and sat down, and they came up and asked me if I wanted water. And he said, "You don't want to drink the water. It's not bottled here." I'm like, "What are you talking about, Vaughn?" And he said, "Pam, you just wouldn't believe what I've uncovered."
In the 6 months since then, there have been demonstrations, panel discussions, debates, a celebrity, and countless reports on how we got here and where we should go.
That's what a CFPUA investigation had to say about the utility's handling of information about Gen X and its drinking water supply. Given the limited information that was available about the...
But Gen X is still a little understood contaminant. Environmental attorneys say they do know Gen X is similar to C8, another chemical compound that is linked to cancer and the subject of major lawsuits.
In Carolina Beach are not affected by Gen X or any other chemicals that were discovered in the Cape Fear River. Carolina Beach gets its water from under...
Chemours, part of a sprawling 2,200-acre site called Fayetteville Works along the Cape Fear River. It sits some 100 miles upstream. In June, Gen X was reported at high levels in the Cape Fear River and drinking water downstream of that plant, which is also home to DuPont and Curaray. Those high levels were in the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority and being consumed in drinking water.
WHQR News, I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. The Star News has broken a story about a potentially cancer-causing chemical in southeastern North Carolina's drinking water supply. According to a piece published by Vaughn Haggerty at starnewsonline.com, a chemical replacement for a key ingredient in Teflon linked to cancer and a host of other ailments has been found in the drinking water system of the Cape Fear Public
Utility. I asked Vaughn Haggerty of the Star News how he found the story.
People always ask me how I came across the Gen X story, and I guess I kind of wish it were a little more exciting, involving, you know, secret undercover meetings and meetings in parking lots and things like that, but it's not. It's very serendipitous. I started Googling around to see if anything had been done on fluorochemicals in the Cape Fear River, and came across a number of things. Among them was the study that included a number of people, including Detlef Kanapi at NC State. And even then, honestly, I mean, it read like a scientific study, and I'm certainly not a scientist. But after talking with some folks about it, it became pretty clear that this was going to be a much bigger story than just those chemicals in the UCMR data.
Haggerty did not expect this story to be page one news a half year later.
Not at all. Even for a journalist, I'm pretty cynical. And honestly, my expectation was, I knew it was a big story, I knew it was an important story, but my expectation was that maybe after maybe a couple of weeks of uproar, it would die down and we would go back to, you know, talking about, you know, whatever Trump's tweets or whatever else was the big story, quote unquote, of the day. So I was really surprised, and frankly, pleased is the wrong word. I was pleasantly surprised with how people of all political stripes sort of came together to make something happen. I mean, I would be the last person to say that, you know, people power is going to accomplish much of anything. But, you know, it did. And I think DEQ wants to say perhaps, and they've done a good job. They want to say, though, that the reason that Kim Moores did what it has done, what it's done, and things have happened because of that they've happened, is because of things that they did. And I disagree. I think the reason things happened is because people in this community came together and essentially said no.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, Jen X has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Jen X has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Jen X has got to go.
Pam Sander.
If we don't do the watchdog reporting and keep spreading the message and keep being as loud as we can about it, then I don't think anything will change.
Gen X is an alternative for the perfluorooctanoic acid, or PFOA, used to synthesize Teflon. This chemical is considered essential for the production of a lot of household items, things like the Teflon used for nonstick pans. It's also used in firefighting foam. DuPont says Gen X has a more favorable toxicological profile than PFOA, which was also known as C8. So they were given a consent order from the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, to make it commercially available. That was in 2009. No one in Wilmington knew very much, if anything, about C8 and Chemours before June. That clearly changed. Community groups formed, information forums were held, scientists were sought out. Residents got angry.
I'm very concerned. I think there needs to be transparency. They haven't given us enough information, so at this point we're just speculating, and that is scary, you know. We're trying not to panic, and we want answers. We're not crazy people. We're just concerned citizens that drink this water every day, and we pay a high price for it. I don't want to pay a high dollar price and a high physical price.
In mid-June, representatives from Chemours came to Wilmington to meet with local leaders. They haven't been back since. That June 15th meeting lasted 96 minutes. It was closed to the public and the media, except for a lone pool reporter. Afterwards, Wilmington Mayor Bill Saffo and New Hanover County Commissioner Chairman Woody White addressed the media. Mayor Saffo.
Again, I'm going to reiterate what the chairman has said. We're asking for a 100% elimination of Gen X from the Cape Fear River. The company has indicated that they are going to try everything in their power to do that. In the meantime, I would ask the state, DEQ, the EPA, to suspend that operation until we have some evidence from the company that says that. Because this is an unregulated compound that is in our river, we need to know more about it. There's one specific study that we have. There seems to be others that are out there. We don't know. We ask for that information to be shared with us. But I can assure you that all of the elected folks here, all of the people in this room, want to make certain that we have good, clean drinking water. And that's the thing that I am most want the EPA and our Division of Environmental Quality to tell us after the sampling that this water is safe to drink. Thank you very much.
Woody White looks back at the meeting with Chemours in June with frustration.
They came here for 96 minutes and they left, and they've done nothing but hide behind lawsuits and vague interpretations of state regulations. And, you know, that's their choice. But it's not really given me a whole lot of comfort as a local leader here that they want to do right by our citizens.
It was during that meeting when local leaders learned that Chemours had been discharging for a lot longer than had been believed.
We learned a number of shocking things, the two most important being A, they volunteered information that they had been releasing Gen X type contaminants since 1980, for 37 years. And the second thing we learned from that meeting was that they continued to do it. They had alternative means to stop it, and they hadn't stopped it. And they really weren't inclined to. And those were shocking revelations to us.
By July, the news had spread across the state. Something was amiss with the Cape Fear River.
This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Environment and health officials are raising questions about a contaminant found in the Cape Fear River. Researchers found a chemical called Gen X in the river and in the region's water supply. Chemical is made by Chemours Company at its plant about 100 miles upstream from Wilmington. Joining me now is Vince Winkle. He's a reporter with WHQR in Wilmington. He's been covering the story and joins me now from partner station WHQR. Welcome, Vince.
Thanks, Frank.
Also joining me is Larry Cahoon. He's a professor of biology at UNC Wilmington. Hello, Larry.
I think the more we find out, the more alarmed we're going to get.
Larry Cahoon is a biology professor at UNCW and has been a keen observer of the situation here in the Cape Fear region. As he reflects on the last 6 months, a lot comes to mind.
I think when I saw the very first headline, I thought, oh boy, we're in for it now. I was, in a very dark way, kind of amused because I thought, oh, you know what has hit the fan. As a few days went by, it became clearer and clearer that this was going to be a long battle. When I started talking to my colleagues and friends who are interested in this stuff, it became very obvious that this was going to be a big headline for a long time, that it was going to have dimensionality to it. That is, there were scientific questions, there were legal questions, and there was everything in between going on. Who knew what? When did they know it? How did this happen? What are the real problems here? How many compounds are we dealing with? How do we treat them? How do we get rid of them? Et cetera, et cetera. So many questions, and we're still looking for answers for a lot of those.
Cahoon says there have been surprises. He wonders if Chemours has been forthcoming in sharing all its discharge information.
The degree to which Chemours has put up a fight, and I don't mean that in a positive way. They have, I think, been playing games with us. They've certainly known for a long time that these compounds were in their discharges. I mean, they run a chemical factory, right? You know, you're supposed to know what you're doing, and it's unbelievable that you know, they're like, oh, gee, we didn't know about that. I don't buy that. I think they knew. I've also been surprised initially with how weak the response by state government was. I was very unhappy with how poorly state government responded to this. I'm still not very happy with it, but it looks like they are making much more of an effort to deal with this responsibly.
This summer, the Department of Health and Human Services set a provisional health goal of 140 parts per trillion in the drinking water from the pipes of the CFPUA. That means if levels of Gen X are below 140, the water is supposedly safe. Of course, there are a lot of other chemicals in that same water, including the Phion byproducts 1 and 2, of which very little is known. And that's the problem. Across the board, very little is known. The only related health study for Gen X involved mice. Emily Donovan lives in Brunswick County. She's the co-founder of the Clean Cape Fear Group. She's also angry.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how can you not be? How can you not when, you know, when I moved here and I was pregnant with twins and I was told to drink a lot of water? You know, you just take this kind of, take for granted that your water is safe to drink. You have no reason not to think your water is safe to drink. You live in the greatest country by some standards. You know, we're supposed to be the leader and setting example for how we govern ourselves, and I am ingesting chemicals that are linked to serious health problems for a developing fetus, for a newborn, for a nursing mother, and for a developing and growing child. I mean, these are not pretty chemicals.
They are not pretty chemicals, but they are persistent.
The more we learn, the less we like about these chemicals, and at small doses. And I think that's what angers me the most, is when I hear someone who does not understand fluoral chemicals or highly fluorinated compounds, and they'll tell me, well, you know what, parts per trillion is such a small amount, but they don't understand how these chemicals work. They bioaccumulate. They don't biodegrade. They collect in our cells when we get chronically exposed to them, and we have been chronically exposed to them, and we've been unaware of that.
Chemours has remained largely silent on this issue. Company CEO Mark Vergnano was on CNBC recently, where he was asked about the Gen X situation.
From our standpoint, that's a permitting issue we have in North Carolina. We'll work with the authorities on that, and I'm convinced we'll come up with the right decisions with them in terms of how to do that. But, you know, when we look across the next 3 years for us, We're looking at the growth that these businesses are going to really generate, the cash it's going to generate, how we best use that cash, which is going to be dividends and share buybacks for our shareholders, but also significant growth into the businesses that we have.
Again, Star News editor Pam Sander.
The regulations, the laws really have to put the onus on a company like that to do testing, to do monitoring, and to share that monitoring about what the makeup of a chemical is. How is it? I mean, yeah, we know very limited testing on rats. Well, okay. How about some more testing? You've had 37 years. How about some more testing on to so that you, as a person who works at a chemical company, who maybe runs a chemical company, so you can go to sleep every night knowing that you know, what you're putting in people's water isn't killing them, isn't slowly killing them, isn't giving them thyroid cancer or whatever, you know, or enlarged liver, whatever it is it might do. Teflon's not that important.
Sander says people keep paying attention, and that's a good thing.
What has surprised me the most is how quickly things have happened. That I thought it would be something we're going to be reporting on for a long time, and it's going to be really hard to get people to listen, and because we're so used to that in our business that people, you know, they just don't pay attention to it, or they get bored with it. I've been really surprised that, and I know some of the other reporting that's been done nationwide, and I know about DuPont in West Virginia and Ohio and how slow that was, a years long. So we kind of were thinking that they're going to drag their feet, they're going to ignore, they're going to do everything they can to stall, put things in the way of this story. And I've been quite surprised at how much the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality and, like I say, some local officials who they don't have the same clout as a governor, let's say, but that I've been surprised at how loud Woody White's been and how much Mayor Sappho has done his thing and really rallied. And I've been surprised at how quickly the revoking of the discharge permit.
New Hanover County Commissioner Woody White.
Well, I've learned a number of things, probably the two most important being, A, there's no substitute for hard charging action on part of public officials. Not speaking of myself solely, but Mayor Sappho, our local delegation, and so many others that came to the forefront immediately and started to demand answers and to demand action from not only our regulators, but from this company. A lot still has to be done, but there's just no substitute for coming together immediately and trying to solve a problem. The second thing I've learned in a broader sense is the real loopholes in how we go about regulating our environment and balancing the economic interests that we have. And it's not been a very positive education in that regard, because I've seen where the loopholes are and I've seen the consequences of those loopholes that have developed over decades of policies.
In a moment, DuPont and the most slippery compound on earth. This is WHQR News.
Water running cool and clear and blue, and it flows down from the hills and it goes down to the towns and passes through. When it gets down to the cities, then the water turns into a dirty gray. It's poisoned and polluted by the people as it flows along its way. Don't go near the water, children. See the fish all dead upon the shore.
Water. It's a necessity for life. It's a necessity for manufacturing. Being close to a river helps for bringing water in and then pumping it back out. It's especially helpful in the making of nonstick cookware.
How long the coating will stay nonstick? For years, we've been trying to make Teflon last longer. And now we've done it. We've developed new Teflon, too. Just as nonstick, just as easy to...
Well, good thing it's Teflon.
Even burned food won't stick to Teflon, though it's always easy to clean.
It's the most durable nonstick surface ever made by DuPont. And just to prove our point, we'll cook some eggs with these letters and still not hurt Silverstone's nonstick performance. See?
So no matter. Teflon was an accident. Its scientific name is polytetrafluoroethylene.
DuPont and Co., catalyst from great war to great war. The DuPont Company and the chemical advancements it made played an influential role in war efforts from 1914 to 1945.
So it was in 1938, a young chemist named Roy Plunkett had been working at DuPont for 2 years. He was 27 years old. Plunkett was trying to invent a new type of freon, a class of compounds that in those days were very useful as the principal gases in refrigerators and air conditioners. His idea was to combine tetrafluoroethylene with hydrochloric acid. He got the gases together, but he wasn't ready to start experimenting. So he cooled and pressurized the gas in canisters overnight. He went home and went to bed. When he returned to the lab the next day, the gas was gone. The canisters weighed the same amount as when they were full, but nothing came out. There was no gas. Plunkett cut the canisters in half. The gas had solidified on the sides, creating a slick surface. Teflon was born, and DuPont would never be the same. Rather than discard the apparent mistake, Plunkett and his assistant tested the new polymer and found that it had some very unusual properties. It was extremely slippery as well as inert to virtually all chemicals, including highly corrosive acids. Those are the words written by DuPont in its corporate history. The product, trademarked as Teflon in 1945, was first used by the military in artillery shell fuses and in the production of nuclear material for the Manhattan Project. The corporate history continues. For those who don't remember, the Manhattan Project was a research and development undertaking during World War II that produced the first nuclear weapons, the bomb. Teflon would also become a virtually indispensable part of everything from space capsules to heart valves to frying pans. It didn't help Plunkett, however, in terms of improved refrigeration in the 1930s. Gen X has been used since 2009 in the production of Teflon. The chemical also is a byproduct of the production of other Chemours products. Wilmington resident Peter Herman could care less about Teflon. He recently spoke on the steps of City Hall during a rally against Gen X in the water.
Oddly, that same week, when Abby was diagnosed, another four-year-old from our area, who's now there right next to her, Nathan, was also diagnosed with the same kidney cancer. The reason I'm standing up in front of you today is to express our deep concern about the presence of the toxic Gen X and C8 in our water supply. And we are demanding changes.
Herman and more than 50 other families belong to the Wilmington Childhood Cancer Support Group. It includes families of several children with leukemia and three with a rare form of kidney cancer.
My daughter is a survivor of Wilms tumor, bilateral Wilms tumor, which is a very rare childhood cancer, and it affects the kidneys. And Wilms tumor is rare in itself, but bilateral is extremely rare. And it is, you know, she's even been genetically tested, and she doesn't carry the gene for Wilms tumor. So to us, that means it's got to be environmental. There's got to be some kind of environmental cause for a cancer. And you know, if you look at the research of, you know, types of cancers that, you know, the possible risk for cancers with Gen X, you know, C8 and all those other chemicals, it points to, you know, the parts of the body like organs that deal with like your kidneys, you know, that are dealing with filtering of your blood, there's always a possibility that those chemicals are causing, you know, the cancer.
But causation isn't easy to prove. In fact, it's really, really difficult to prove. Suzanne Brander is a toxicologist at Oregon State University. Until a few months ago, she held the same role here at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, where she also still does research. For causation, she says there are years, years of work to do.
There are no easy answers, and there are no immediate answers. It takes a lot of time to design studies to really get at what these chemicals may be responsible for causing, as far if they're causing any health effects. And it's challenging to gather that information. It's also challenging in today's political climate, as there may not be as much support from regulatory agencies as there may have been in the past. So, but I applaud the efforts of North Carolina State and ECU and UNCW for starting to scratch the surface and get some solid information on exposure concentrations in many different sample types.
Brander is also somewhat surprised that Gen X and the drinking water of the Cape Fear region remains the top story.
I thought we would still be talking about it, but not with regards to getting the company to stop discharging this chemical in their effluent. I thought that at this point that would be a closed case. I figured we would still be talking about it with regards to research, needed research, and that it would take a number of years to really discern what the potential health impacts could be, if there are any. But I thought at this point, I certainly was very surprised, as I'm sure everyone else was, to see that there was continued discharge of this chemical, Gen X, into the Cape Fear in October.
For WHQR News, I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. The Environmental Review Commission of the North Carolina General Assembly now has a decision to make. They met in Wilmington this week to hammer out plans for the Gen X River contamination and its related investigations. The 20-member commission spent almost 5 hours.
On August 23rd, the North Carolina General Assembly's Environmental Review Commission held a special hearing on Gen X in Wilmington to discuss the man-made chemicals' impact on the area's drinking water supplies. It was a chance for citizens to speak out to the state's leaders.
DuPont and Chemours cannot be trusted. This trust but verify business works when someone doesn't break your trust. We have to think about Parkersburg. Here's what I need to feel safe. I need clean water now. I need to take a clean shower. Clean. We need to sample water continuously. We need to stop all discharge, and they need to prove. The onus needs to be on them to pay for it. Yes, we need more. We need the state to monitor, but it should be paid for by the companies if they want to be in this state. Somebody mentioned no proof of cancer increase. I have here from cancer.org proof that there is, in fact, a thyroid cancer increase and a bladder cancer increase in this state, and I will be personally using my statistical background to put health information together, and I may get it published. We need to be free of toxins.
She mentioned we need to think about Parkersburg. That's a town in West Virginia. DuPont recently cut them a check for a lot of money. It's a factory town located at the confluence of the Ohio and Little Kanawha rivers, next to a source of water. You see, in 1951, DuPont began using ammonium perfluorooctanoate, also called C8, to make Teflon and related polymers at its Washington Works plant near Parkersburg. Since then, the multi-billion-dollar company has faced a few lawsuits and paid out. The largest came just this past February. A class action suit over PFOA, remember that's also known as C8, the precursor to Gen X, that's yielded a historic $671 million settlement. It took about 15 years to litigate. 15 years. Some 3,550 plaintiffs from the Mid-Ohio Valley had filed suit, claiming contaminated drinking water led to diseases linked to chemical exposure. Kemp Burdett is the Cape Fear Riverkeeper.
Pretty shocked by the similarities to the Parkersburg case. You know, I mean, that was a big deal in U.S. environmental history. It was a serious contamination case by a company that, you know, willingly covered up contamination. And this case is very, very similar. And it's kind of disturbing that, you know, so soon after something like that, you'd see another example of it in another place. So that's pretty shocking. One thing we know is that we're not just dealing with a discharge from Chemours. We're dealing with other discharges from industry upstream. We're dealing with discharges from coal ash ponds. We're dealing with discharges from wastewater treatment plants that don't effectively treat industrial waste. So it's not just perfluorinated compounds. It's all types of compounds. And you heard Larry Cahoon describe it as kind of a chemical cocktail. And so these compounds interact with each other. They interact with the environment. Perfluorinated compounds in particular are extremely durable. You know, they do not break down. They won't break down, period.
Could Wilmington be another Parkersburg? Again, Emily Donovan.
Just how vulnerable we are, that you see on the news, you vaguely heard about C8 in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and never knew just how intimately connected we would be with that story until 6 months ago. Now it's so surprising to me to see the similarities and to see that we are almost 15 years behind exactly what the citizens there were going through with some of the exact same chemicals, exact same company, different names, same players, same people in the company, just new name.
We will return to our play right after tonight's story of DuPont Chemistry. These are DuPont workers, and each one is backed by an investment of $24,000. Now that's a lot of money. It represents the amount DuPont spends per worker for the tools and equipment necessary to bring you better things for better living. What does it mean to you? Why is it important? Well, it illustrates one part of our American business system that has contributed so much to our high standard of living. Now, that's a lot of money. Just a little more than half a century ago.
But a lot of people are now working on this challenge. Several universities, governmental agencies like the DEQ, DHHS, EPA, CDC, the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority, and local groups who pass along valuable information, such as Clean Cape Fear and Wilmington's Stop Gen X in Our Water. Coming up, health studies and the future of the Cape Fear River.
Don't go near the water, children, see the fish all dead upon the shore. Don't go near the water, cause water isn't water anymore. That night we went down to the river. Then I knew the river we'd die. Oh, down to the river we did ride. Yeah.
The Cape Fear River is the heart and soul of southeastern North Carolina. It feeds into the Atlantic Ocean after traveling more than 200 miles throughout the countryside. In 1664, the English explorer William Hilton Jr. wrote,
"We have seen, facing both sides of the river and branches of Cape Fear aforesaid, as good land and as well timbered as any we have seen in any other part of the world, sufficient to accommodate thousands of our English nation, and lying commodiously by the said river's side."
Some 350 years later, the river still flows, but it's much different than in the 1600s. Hundreds of years ago, the river was clear and pristine. Today, people are trying to keep it safe. Jim Fleckner is the executive director of the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority.
The bottom line, though, is that we shouldn't have to be doing any of this. We should have a clear understanding through DEQ what's in the river and what the health effects are for those compounds in the river. And we should have, if there is a health concern, we should have treatment technologies to get them out before it gets to our customers. So unless we know what's in the river and unless we can treat for it, it shouldn't be there at all. I feel good about where we are, but we shouldn't be here to begin with.
Compounds like Gen X like the river. Carl Vandermaiden is director of engineering for CFPUA.
A little bit. I mean, one of the things that we've seen with Gen X is that, you know, that particular compound, it likes to be in the water. And what we have seen is that when it's in the water that comes into our treatment plant, the same amount goes out of our treatment plant. So we don't believe it necessarily, you know, stays in our treatment plant. You know, we've seen it going out of the treatment plant and into the distribution system.
Vandermaiden is working with UNCW and others in testing possible filtration systems at the water plant. They started by looking at three.
The three technologies that we started to look at on paper were granular activated carbon, ion exchange, and we considered on a paper study reverse osmosis. And from that paper study, we narrowed it down to granular activated carbon and ion exchange for a full-scale pilot test to gather that information. So the granular activated carbon, essentially how that works, it's a granular media made out of carbon products, coconut shells, coal, things like that, and that material is processed and made what they call activated in order to remove certain organic compounds. And then for ion exchange, it's essentially the same thing. It's just a different technology, but it works the same, where you have a media that the water flows through, and as it flows through the media, it removes the compounds of concern. And what makes ion exchange a little different than the GAC is that ion exchange can be designed to target a particular compound or a series of compound, while GAC is more of a broad spectrum removal.
The CFPUA took some heat early on in this story because they already knew about it. Jim Fleckner.
You're right. The report was published in November of 2016. And one of the final conclusions of the report from Dr. Canapi and also the researchers from EPA was that there should be discharge controls and more study. In fact, in conversations with Dr. Canapi, he was telling our staff that there's no reason people shouldn't drink the water. So we had no dashboard warning light telling us there was a problem. We continued our dialogue with Dr. Canapi to understand whether we could modify our treatment processes, what does all this mean. And ultimately, we did forward it on when we had enough information to do that. Obviously, we know more now than we did back then, but there's still a lot of unanswered questions. But the people who had the authority to do something about this, EPA and DEQ, had it the same time we did, and they had the same information. We moved it as quickly as we could in understanding it and bringing it forward, but really it wasn't until it got the attention that it received in the public that we fully understood how many other compounds are out there and what our next step needs to be, and whether we need to do that, or whether DEQ or some other agency needs to do that.
In a lab at the sprawling Environmental Protection Agency facility in Research Triangle Park, Mark Streiner is huddled over some very high-end equipment.
So this instrument that we're standing in front of is what's called a time-of-flight mass spectrometer. And so what that is also, it's a high-resolution mass spec. This is an instrument that allows us to detect the molecular weight of a chemical. I don't care what that chemical is. It's made up of elements, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, etc. And when you put those together and you measure the molecular weight of a chemical to a high degree of accuracy, we can predict its formula. So that's what this instrument is used to do. It's the instrument we use for non-targeted screening in water samples, such as down on the Cape Fear River for Gen X and related analytes.
Streiner has been working on the Cape Fear River system since 2006.
And it's been an ongoing effort for the better part of a decade for perfluorinated chemicals. With respect to, you know, the new things that we have discovered since 2015 was our first publication, on that effort. And later on in 2016, the paper that Mason is the lead author on that got all the press down in Wilmington, that's the measurement of these new compounds we discovered in the drinking water, in the surface water. And that sets the stage for toxicology to begin. Until you know what you're looking at, you know, the toxicologists don't know what to begin using in their studies for dosing, etc.
That paper was co-written by Detlef Knappe, the North Carolina state scientist who has been making regular trips to Wilmington these last few months. He was instrumental in bringing the topic to the public's attention.
There are lots of research questions, obviously, especially surrounding toxicity and health effects. And more immediately, what's next is just how is the Chemours facility or the whole Fayetteville Works facility going to be managed in the short term and also in the long term? And also, how are other industrial discharges across the state managed? What kind of monitoring programs do we have to put into place to prevent these kinds of situations in the future? So there are lots of policy questions there. What will DEQ do? What can they do to control discharges into drinking water sources, for example?
As for health questions, we look to Jane Hoppen. She's the deputy director of the Center for Human Health and the Environment, just down the road from Dr. Knappe at NC State. Her team is now reviewing results from a study of almost 400 Wilmington residents.
The project is designed to look at measure levels of Gen X and other perfluorinated compounds in up to 400 people in the Wilmington area. So we collected blood and urine and drinking water samples from people in Wilmington.
Her team will look at other factors as well.
Not only are we measuring Gen X, but we're also measuring three kind of common clinical assays: lipid levels, thyroid function, and a comprehensive metabolic panel that looks at liver function. And the reason that we decided to do this is that some of these tests have been associated with C8 in the C8 study, the larger C8 study. And though while we won't be as definitive as the C8 study, which is 45,000 people, it may give us some clues to whether we're seeing similar kinds of associations. But our study's cross-sectional, meaning that we're measuring everything at the same point in time, and so we won't be able to assess causation. And we're measuring Gen X in people in November, so we won't necessarily know what people had in their bodies in June or July before the Gen X was removed from the river, but we will be able to tell you about today.
Hoppen says that these test results won't answer all the questions.
Because we don't know much about this chemical. It's never been measured in people before. So what we find will be the first. So it's not like a blood lead level where we know a lot about what that means. And so we want to give people results back, even though we know that we don't know everything that it means.
Okay, let's try that one more time.
We want to give people results back, even though we know that we don't know everything that it means.
Department of Health and Human Services State Health Director Elizabeth Tilson agrees that there is no detailed health information on these chemicals.
We are so far away from that the most important thing is get it out of the water, and then we'll work on whatever health information that we can. So first thing, get it out of the water.
Levels of Gen X are far lower today than they were 6 months ago. Chemours has followed DEQ orders to stop discharges into the river. There have been a few leaks and there have been air emissions, but the company appears to be trying to toe the line. Adam Wagner of the Star News has been covering this story since June.
I think the other thing is the sheer lack of knowledge that people have, people that you would expect to know this stuff, people at the EPA, people at DEQ, and that's not their fault. This stuff is, there's just, the structure that we have set up is almost geared so that this is too complicated for easy answers. And I think that's become increasingly evident over the last 6 months, where questions like, is my water safe, cannot get a very concrete answer for whatever reason. And DEQ and DHS can say the levels were higher than they should have been, but your water is safe. And squaring those two thoughts is really, really difficult.
Wagner says it's been a learning experience for everyone.
I think that it is forcing people to take stances, take bolder stances than they otherwise would have, especially on environmental things. I think we saw it in the last month with Byrne Tillis coming out against the Michael Dowerson nomination as the EPA's head of chemical issues, basically. And I think we've seen it. I think we've seen it on the other side too, with the Democrats having to really reinforce their pro-environment bona fides, and then the Republicans trying to consequently come up with some kind of an answer. And I think that it's really sort of, as Vaughn said, sort of galvanized a certain segment of the population to start paying attention to these issues that really can sort of slip in the cracks, because they are complicated, they are tricky, and they're also really, really important.
Lisa Sorg of NC Policy Watch is an environmental investigative reporter based in Raleigh.
Well, I think there's going to be legislation that will come out on January 4th. It'll be interesting to see if later there's an appropriation, because I think that is one piece of this, is that DEQ is severely underfunded. They're understaffed. We see that in the PowerPoint slides every meeting, and that is just something that you can't get around. There are only so many hours in a day, so I'm hopeful that there is some appropriation that comes out of it in the long term. And I hope there's some legislation that really has some teeth that comes out in January. One of the interesting aspects is there have been a lot of rollbacks of regulations over the last 6-7 years out of the legislature. And I'm not saying this is a direct correlation, but these are the sorts of things that happen when regulations are weak, either on the federal level or the state level.
The House Select Committee on North Carolina River Quality is working on legislation. Representative Ted Davis Jr. is chair of that House Select Committee.
The session in January is only going to be a one-day session, maybe 2 days. So you can't sit here and start putting in things that will be controversial or require a lot of discussion. It'll need to be things that I feel is palatable, that the House will pass on the floor, then also can go over and the Senate will pass on the floor, all in what might be one day with all the other businesses going on.
Davis says after that, his committee will focus on the long-term solutions, whatever they may be.
I would say two of the things that I have learned that scare me the most. And number one is, we don't have any clue about what all is out there in our water when it comes to compounds. There are compounds we don't know about. There are compounds that an industry can put into the water that can mix with compounds that are already there and make a new compound we don't know anything about. But also, separate and apart from that, is there's been a lot of talk about monitoring the water. Well, you can't monitor what you don't know. So we could spend millions of dollars on people to do water monitoring and have them go out. Yes, they can monitor for things that we might be aware of, targeted compounds. But all those other things, there's no way we can do it. So I don't see that as a very efficient way to try to address what we don't know about. And that's scary.
As for a new discharge permit for Chemours, that's a fight for another day. Sheila Holman is Assistant Secretary of the Department of Environmental Quality.
There's not a deadline. We obviously, on November 16th, issued a 60-day notice of intent to partially revoke the permit. So before taking any action relative to their manufacturing process wastewater discharge in a permanent way, in a permit, we need to let that 60 days expire, and so we continue to look at various options. You know, what's the best path forward?
The Chemours discharge wastewater now sits in tanker cars at the facility. They will soon be shipped to Texas by rail and dealt with through deep well injection. An injection well is a device that places fluid deep underground into porous rock formations like sandstone or limestone. It will remain that way until Chemours or someone finds a solution to handling these waste products in the future. Riverkeeper Kemp Burdett.
There are a lot of folks in our community who can't go out and buy a water treatment system. They can't go out and buy bottled water. They can't afford the kind of treatment that people talk about. And so, you know, we really got this totally backwards if we even take one step down that path about, you know, what are we going to do to treat contaminated water coming out of our tap instead of saying, you know, this company has, you know, almost untold resources. I mean, this is a multi-billion dollar company, one of the leading chemical manufacturing companies on the planet. They can treat their waste. They should treat their waste. And it shouldn't be up to people to be the dumping grounds for corporations like Chemours.
For 6 months, Chemours has declined repeated requests for interviews by WHQR. For WHQR News, I'm Vince Winkle. Down to the river, my baby and I. Oh, down to the river we ride. Gen X, A Toxic Year is a production of WHQR News, Wilmington. Special thanks to Steve Vernon for his portrayal of explorer William Hilton Jr., and thanks to the staff of the Star News.